And now,
in the classroom,
you have no. What's going on in there? You know, you say you're quitting. New- no, you quit, and then all of a sudden, nothing is working.
You wonder why. Oh, hey, Jason, do we get new audio boards this week? Did we? Did we?
I thought you were good at your job.
Jason, did we get new audio boards this week?
No.
Oh, we didn't.
Last week.
No, we that wasn't
no,
last
it
week.
It was last week in this building or in this room?
In this room.
You said you didn't specify.
No, we as in the Jason Ranch Show plus producer Peyton, because that's the title of the show.
Okay, yes. Does it look the same as the old ones?
No, it acts completely different, 100% different. I'm still trying to figure this thing out.
Your excuses are your own. This is not the Columbia School of Broadcasting. You do not do your best. You do my best. And if you don't like it, how about this? You're fired on Thursday.
Okay.
Of next week.
I was going to say Thursday.
Next Thursday.
Okay.
Okay. A teacher at River Ridge Elementary School in Kent violated the district's non-discrimination policy. Maybe someone who's a future teacher should take note. She's no longer a teacher with the school as a result.
She called me ratchet and foolish and ghetto, and she told me to shut my mouth.
Oh, God bless her. She's so adorable, this girl. She called me ratchet and ghetto and tell me to shut my mouth. Now, the shut your mouth part is, you were a little mouthy there, little girl. No, I mean, this poor girl. I feel so bad for her. So the school district did a thorough investigation. They said that this was a violation of the non-discrimination policy because some of the language that was used is steeped in the, at least the potential of racism. I find this story now fascinating. So let's get through some of this, because I think you're going to agree with me on one point. And it highlights just sort of the nonsense that comes from the left on education. The family files a complaint once the kid comes out and says, my teacher called me ratchet. The district does the investigation, and they said, yes, she definitely used the term ratchet. Now, the teacher denies calling the kid ratchet. However, according to the investigation that's cited by Cairo 7 TV, they say she acknowledged that she said you are acting ratchet. Not you are ratchet, but you are acting ratchet. She intentionally used the word, she said. Here is the aunt.
It is this lady admitting to discriminating a child, an 8-year-old. And hearing her say, I said the word ratchet because I knew it was a term she would understand, it had me livid.
Did you hear that? She used the term ratchet, and the argument was, it was a term I knew she would understand.
Yes.
Now, I'm pretty certain that ratchet is only used in the black community in this context. I've never really heard white people or Latino people. That's my understanding of the word.
I mean, it's slang term that is used in urban cities, yeah. I would say, across the board.
I haven't heard the term. Like I said, I haven't heard the term ratchet in a very long time.
Yeah, but
my understanding was it was used in the context of black people in an offensive way. So her excuse is, I used a term I thought she would understand. You know what she's arguing? This is culturally responsive education. That's what she's arguing. That's effectively what culturally responsive education is, right? The whole idea is we're going to go to you. We're going to speak in the way you speak. We're going to think about things and see things through a lens that you see it in your culture. That's what she's arguing. That's part of the reason, by the way, why I can't stand this idea that we have to start teaching, quote unquote, culturally responsively. What does that even mean? What does it mean in this context? It means for her, even though she's not acknowledging that that's what she was doing, that is in effect what she was doing, she's basically saying, I'm going to lean into stereotypes and talk with a slang way and with slang language because that's the only way that this black kid will understand me. That's inherently racist. That is inherently racist. What does ratchet mean?
Ratchet?
Yeah. What does it mean?
Ghetto.
What does ghetto mean? Low class, I guess, sure. In this context. Okay. Could you have used the exact same phrase or a different phrase and get the exact same meaning in a way that isn't steeped in language that is racial?
Yes.
Yes, 100%. 100%. And yet she chose not to because arguably she's been told over and over and over again, well, you got to speak in a culturally responsive way and they're not really going to understand you unless you speak their slang. That is racist. That is racist. And she, all she has to do is come out and say, this is what you taught me to do. This is what you taught me to do. And that no one seems to understand this is bizarre. What does it mean to talk to a Jewish kid in a culturally responsive way? To nag me to death? Because that's what Jewish mothers do. To lean into stereotypes? Like, what does that mean? Other than leaning into stereotypes. It is absurd. It is absolutely absurd. Now, Cairo 7 won't name the teacher. They just say, we have chosen not to name the teacher. Why? They said she violated the non-discrimination policy. And by the way, she still teaches, just not at that school. She was just transferred. Again, the aunt.
I feel like if a teacher violates their own policies that they have written in place, you have proof, you have evidence, she admits to it, they should be fired immediately. And they, to be honest, their license should be revoked.
100% agree in this case. I don't necessarily agree with her point of if it's just a violation of policy. That part I don't agree with. But this is the non-discrimination policy. That means you discriminated against a kid on the basis of her race. How is that not a fireable offense? How is that not a fireable offense? What is a fireable offense? Well, takes a heck of a lot to fire a teacher, which is why untalented, lazy people end up getting into that profession, Peyton.
Tons of them.
But that's the truth. It's because of the union, right? It's union protection. Unions are protecting her. And you've left this aunt in a precarious spot.
How are we fixing the problem for just transferring her from one school to another school? We're not fixing it.
You're not. I think in this case, and I am someone who reluctantly views things through a racial lens. And I generally don't see the racial element in situations like this. But I remember when we first covered this story, yeah, ratchet in that term, in this context, and ghetto is clearly related to the race of the student. That's how it was used. That's why it was used, I should say. How are you going to deal with it when kids do that? We're not going to say the school that you're going to.
I'm not going to call students ratchet.
Well, what would you call them? Ghetto.
No, I wouldn't call them ghetto.
But what if they were acting ratchet?
I would use another term. Like,
what term would you use?
I would say, hey, you're acting a little out of line there. How's that sound?
Out of line?
Yeah, is that appropriate?
What does that even mean?
What are you, my supervisor?
Maybe one day if I decide to quit radio and get a job in teaching. I'm obviously going to be over you. Why do you keep doing that?
Because...
why is this so hard? You just push the button to go to traffic. This is three times today.
You don't understand.
And by the way, you're making the same mistake in the same spot. Top of the hour, you don't know how to push the button. First traffic break, don't know how to put. You push a button. Just the
you
wrong
know what's
one.
One thing that I've always been thankful for about you as a supervisor is you've always been so understanding of mistakes, especially when somebody's like making that same mistake over and over again. You have this amazing sense of patience with somebody, and you allow them to work their own way through that.
No, not when it impacts me. So get it together. Stop acting so ratchet. Does that work here?
Doesn't that say School of Broadcasting over the door when I walk in?
Ugh. Someone said I'm being too dramatic in my criticism, I guess, in the term ratchet and being critical of ratchet, and they point to the Urban Dictionary and they say it exhibits some of these attitude or sassy or smart math, can be childish, rude or crude. Yes, I understand that. The way that this term has been historically used has been towards black people or about black people. That's the racial element here. That's what it is. So, for example, if you were to call a Jew cheap, traditionally as an insult, that's how you insult Jews. And so if you're talking exclusively to Jews and you say, stop being a cheap person, you were about to say Jew, weren't you? You would say, well, that is clearly connected to the person's religion. That's all I'm saying. I'm right. Tell me I'm right.
You're never wrong on your own radio show.
But on this, I'm especially right.
Oh, yeah.
Am I wrong on this? Just seriously. Am I crazy on this one?
I think the one place where you're wrong.
And I hate teachers. And I'll always throw them under the bus.
All right.
This case, I'm saying... or I hate schools, districts, and unions. I think in this case, the teacher's wrong. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send a text. I'll be on Fox News at night at 9:45, only to be done, then go directly to bed to be on the National Report on Newsmax tomorrow morning at 6:40. I hope you'll tune in. But if you don't, we post everything online at youtube.com/JasonRants. youtube.com/JasonRants. Find out what else is trending.
What's trending on the campaign trail?
Hey, Minnesota voters. You had one job. You had literally one job last night. And it was to defeat Ilhan Omar, who is a vicious anti-Semite. And you failed. However, this race was incredibly close in this primary. She won 50 to 48%. She won by, I think, 2,500-ish votes. The closest race of her career. She was running up against a former Minneapolis city council member who is pro-police, or at least is anti-defund. And she came razor thin to losing this race. And whenever things like this happen, whenever you just barely get by, I wonder if a politician will ever look at that and say, hey, maybe I'm doing something wrong. Maybe I could change the way I operate. Maybe I should consider more what other people in the community are thinking about. And yet I always find myself let down because you hear excuse after excuse after excuse when things like this happen. And you have this reluctance to actually change your behavior, change your votes, change the way you interact with the community. That's the case with Ilhan Omar. She's not going to change a darn thing. She's still the same anti-Semite today that she was yesterday. She's still the same defund police supporter as she was yesterday. She will not learn from this at all. If anything, it'll push her even further to the left. Because folks who are partisan on either side of the aisle, the most partisan people out there, are the ones who are the most blind to the realities of their policies, and they're the ones who are the most, in their own head, victimized. They think they're victims. Oh, well, you know, the Jews in the media didn't give us the right coverage. That's something that Ilhan Omar probably would say. Well, she's a vicious anti-Semite. She hates Israel. She doesn't want it to exist. Meanwhile, here in Washington State, Jamie Herrera Butler, she conceded after the show yesterday. She conceded to Joe Kent. Joe Kent, who will be on the show at about 5:15, his first radio interview, I think his first interview, since the concession. She said she stood up for what she believed in, which is funny because that's not what her constituents believed in. She thought she was doing what was best for her country, but the folks who she represents were saying, don't do this. This is not best for our country. She decided that she knew better than her constituents, and her constituents sent her packing. So Joe Kent is moving on to the general. Unless something dramatic happens, he will be the next congressman from Washington's third. Now, as I said yesterday, this doesn't mean anything as far as raw numbers are concerned. And for the most part, Jamie Herrera Butler, it's not like she was the one vote away from passing a conservative policy. If only we had that vote. That's not what she was. However, you're now going to get someone in Congress who is an America First conservative. Someone who will be much farther to the right than Jamie Herrera Butler, which means more in line with the community, with the district. Folks can pretend all they want that Kelso or Battleground is a purple district. No, it's not. They're not purple cities. Vancouver may be more purple than red. Maybe. And that's a big maybe. Now, I imagine the DNC is not going to put a whole bunch of money into this race. And I'm assuming, outside of just some publicity, you're not going to see a lot of money coming from the Washington State Democrats because they know this is going to be a difficult race, nearly impossible race, for the Democrat to win. Her name is Marie Glusenkamp Perez. And she is not a fan of Joe, and she is going to lean in to the same strategy we're seeing, not just across the state, but across the country coming from Democrats.
Defeating Joe was why we got into this race in large part. I mean, this is not...
Just real quickly, by the way, and this is free tip for you for your next KGW television interview. Don't say the main reason you're running for Congress is to beat someone. The main reason you're running for Congress should be that you want to represent your constituency, that you want to stand up for their values, for their principles, that you want to help a community. That's why you run. And everyone stands against racists, except, of course, racists. But when you label everyone and everything racist, guess what happens? That term no longer means what you think. It no longer stings. Did you ever think we would live in a world in which the term racism and the term racist or anything in that world doesn't sting? It doesn't sting anymore because to them, everything is racist. Systems are racist. Politicians that I don't agree with are racist. Hiking is racist. Weather is racist. Everything is racist. If everything is racist, then nothing is racist. And they do a huge disservice to victims of actual racism when they just so cavalierly throw that term around. She doesn't even say, by the way, what makes Joe Kent such an extremist. She doesn't even say that. She does say this.
This is the time for the middle to come together. This is the time for us to build bridges and not drive wedges. This is the time for us to abandon the clickbait politics.
Joe Kent, you are a white nationalist. Now's the time to come together. The people who voted for Joe Kent, extremists. Now's the time to come together. There's a little bit of a conflict in that message, isn't there? Lucen Comp Perez. There's a little bit of a conflict, which is why she's going to lose. Now, am I worried at all about this district? No, not really. Is it possible that there's an upset? I suppose. I do think that she did a reasonable job about getting Democrats to turn out the vote. People who don't pay close attention to this will say, well, she was number one. Yeah, no kidding. There were four Republicans who were running. Three pulled in the bulk of the votes. So obviously it was going to be fractured. But this is good news for Joe Kent. And ultimately, this is good news for Washington State. I said this yesterday. I disagree with the complaints about Dan Newhouse. I think he is very much a conservative. I wholly disagree with his decision to vote to impeach the president. I completely disagree. I don't think that's a disqualifying vote in the context of running against a Democrat like Doug White over in that district. I don't necessarily disagree with some of the criticisms of Jamie Herrera Butler, who just seemed very out of touch and distant from her community. Kind of like she was phoning it in. That's my story. Do I know that as a fact? No, I don't. I can just give you the perception. I don't have that perception of Dan Newhouse. I think he's working really, really hard for the district. You might disagree with votes that he takes, but I think he's actually engaged. He's activated as a congressperson. You have people like Pramila Jayapal in Seattle, the Democrat, who's all about publicity, all about sending out outrageous tweets and trying to get her base to get more active. Unfortunately, she knows her base is violent. She doesn't seem to mind too much. But she's not someone who's actively working to change things in D.C. to help this country. I think that about Dan Newhouse. I know that would be the case with Matt Larkin in Washington's 8th. And I certainly know that it's going to be the case with who I hope to call Congressman Joe Kent. 1-800-465-8770. Don't forget, he's going to be on the show at about 5:15. You will not want to miss that. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text.
Yelp, Tacoma, Bremerton, Bothell.
This is the Big Local on the Jason Ranch Show.
Redmond, Sumner, Kent.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Hey, look at that. It's 4:30 on a weekday afternoon. That means it's time for the Big Local, brought to you by Alpine Specialty Services, online at alpineclean.com. This is the part of the show where we completely ignore stories coming out of Seattle, and instead, we focus all of our attention on the communities you live in and care about most. And we start in Tacoma, where I'm told this is sound of thunderstorms. It just sounds like a wind tunnel. It sounds like we just put a microphone in front of a fan and we turned it on to high. But I'm told there was lots of thunder that roared over the waterfront this morning. Lightning strikes hit power lines. Power's been down for a lot of folks. Some point, they started to get it together. Earlier this afternoon, they were down to just 500, according to Tacoma Public Utilities. Kyla Merzurkawara, is with the National Weather Service. She says the worst of the storm has passed.
And right now, there's really nothing in the area, but there is a chance of isolated thunderstorms and some showers later on. But right now, we're pretty good.
Fife got hit. Kirkland got hit with some power outages. If someone was wondering, as they were listening to Dan Bongino this morning, they're all like, hey, why did it stop? Well, because lightning struck our transmitter, and we were taken off the air.
What are the odds of that?
I don't know.
You didn't ask anybody?
I did not ask. I don't know if anyone... In fairness, the only people I would ask is probably the engineer who was racing over to go fix it on Vashon Island. That's where our transmitter is.
You know, just a quick little trip.
It's kind of, it took our sister station off the air as well. Like, it was not fun. I had no idea that it rained. Did you know it rained? You're Bonnie Lake, so I don't know if it, how much it hit King County other than, I mean, yeah, Kirkland, I just said. But it, I don't know if it was a big, when was it?
I don't know. When I woke up this morning, it wasn't raining, but there was a lot of thunder rolling through.
Really? Yeah. I didn't hear any thunder whatsoever. And I was up at 6 o'clock this morning. Well, maybe a little before 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
It was not. That's my normal time.
Stop doing that, then.
Well, no, what do you think you're going to have to do as you're going to school?
No wonder you hate life. You optionally wake up at 6 a.m.
And I go to bed at like midnight.
You have a 3 p.m. radio show and you wake up at 6 a.m.
Yeah, well, not everyone's lazy like you. Meanwhile, King 5, Woke 5 News... This is embarrassing. And again, we generally don't play long-form clips of local television. We just pull out some of the actualities. Sometimes we're not able to pull out all the reporters because people like, oh, I don't just picking at random. Deborah Horn like to shoehorn their way in. Maybe that's where the horn part comes in. Shoehorn her way into every single story. But I thought for this one, because it's less than 90 seconds, the title of the article that accompanied this report. Hundreds expected at BIPOC-friendly festival in King County. Now, this clearly implies that there are festivals in this area that are not, in fact, quote-unquote, BIPOC-friendly. This one's in Carnation. Did they think, well, there's not that many black people in Carnation. We better just throw it out there. Is this specifically designed for black people? I had so many questions, and we'll do a population guess on Carnation because now I forgot that we do that. So let's play this.
Refuge Outdoor Festival. It's Refuge. In its fifth year, and it's all happening this Friday through Sunday. Ooh. The goal is to show everyone outdoor recreation is for everyone, no matter your background or how you identify.
Just real quickly, is there another type of outdoor festival that does depend on your identity before they allow you in? We are only allowing people who identify as they, them, for our festival here in Ferndale. The one in Port Orchard, they're all like, yeah, we are only doing this for white people in wheelchairs. I'm already confused. And now I'm starting to wonder, is this just like a social justice camp for 3 days? Where you're actively just trying to promote this to folks who are on the far, far, far left.
I met with the event founder, Siobhan Powell, at Seward Park in Seattle, because she says that park's great for people to go and enjoy the trails, the water, have a picnic, play tennis, or visit the Audubon Center. As a longtime outdoor enthusiast herself, she wants everyone, including BIPOC and LGBTQ community members, to feel welcomed and safe.
Now LGBTQ? Has my community been discriminated against when it comes to outdoor stuff?
I mean, you wouldn't know because you've never tried.
I don't go outdoors. Yeah, I mean, that's a silly question. But so now also all the other programs about outdoor nature style events where you're just going for hikes or going bird watching or whatever, that was just there. It's all racist and homophobic and transphobic. So we had to come up with our own version.
To enjoy parks and campsites in Washington State and across the country.
I will say, as a young man growing up, I was always told by the white establishment that as a Jew and a gay, I'm not allowed to enjoy the outdoors. And it really instilled within me a hatred of outside. Now I know why I don't go for hikes.
Oh, it started young and it just stuck.
You know, it was just institutionalized racism and homophobia inside the outdoor space.
We don't want Refuge to just be one fun weekend. We want folks to feel connected and feel comfortable continuing their outdoor engagement. So there's a wide breadth of activities like hiking, biking, water activities, as well as community conversations about diversity and equity.
So one of those things definitely doesn't match. You had hiking, swimming, and serious conversations about race and equity.
I mean, technically, conversations could be used as a verb. So that is three verbs, right? Hiking, swimming, conversations. Those are all verbs.
No, they're not, future teacher.
Those are all verbs.
Conversations is a verb?
Yeah, I'm conversationing. Bingo. Nailed it.
Oh, my God.
And inclusion in the outdoors.
These are some photos from past festival weekends. Oh. The first year gathered about 125 participants, wow. And this year more than 300 people are heading to Tolt McDonald Park in Carnation. There are still spots available for year's Refuge Outdoor Festival. You can register for a day or the full weekend, which means whether you've done this or not, you're going to set up camp among the community. For more info on how to register, just text the word festival to 206-448-4545.
Shut up. I don't
want
to.
And we'll send you that
Leave
information.
Leave me alone. I don't want it. What will you do with my phone number? Hit me up with all these social justice causes? This is absurd. And King 5 does this because they have a rule. They have to hit X amount of racial justice style stories. They do an audit every single month, according to an insider that I know who shouldn't tell me anything because he or she knows I'm going to exploit it. But he or she also knows that I hate Woke 5 News. They have an audit to see whether or not they've tokenized enough, they don't view it that way, but whether or not they tokenized enough BIPOC members. And so they say, hey, we haven't had a story about Native Americans. This, we got to do some, just do some art story. Just throw it out, just whatever. No one cares. Oh, the anti-racist hike? Okay, let's do that. It's not news. It's not news. And I know they think that it makes them all woke. I know they think it makes them come off as cool and hip to the social justice cause. It really doesn't. To me, it just comes off as condescending, and it's always tokenizing, in my view. All of this stuff is always just blatant, transparent tokenizing. And it feels wrong. And I don't understand why no one there, because they put Faraj Jadran on this. They put a person of color on all of these stories. They never give it to Jake Wittenberg, who's very, very white. They never do that. They give it to people of color, quote unquote. And they do that because they think it's a good look. It gives them, it earns them some social currency within the Seattle community and the greater Western Washington community.
Clout, bro.
But it's not, do you give them, do they truly earn clout in your eyes?
No.
No.
But I'm on the good side of things. So.
Okay, Carnation is small.
Very.
I'm going to go with a weird one this time.
Okay.
2,277.
You did not Google that before, did you?
Is it that? There's no way it's that.
2,232.
Are you serious?
You were within 45.
That, I think, has been my best one.
That's your very best one. You were within 45 human beings of Carnation.
That's funny. And that I was going to do. Have I done anything in this room other than look at you awkwardly this entire time?
No, you didn't do any show prep today because
you were too
busy.
I was busy.
With whatever you did.
I'm the best. I'm good at this. Meanwhile, a car crashed into a boba tea cafe in Puyallup, and not even because they serve boba tea. Which is disgusting.
Stop.
It's disgusting.
It's so good.
You always, every single time you take a sip through that big straw, you're wondering if you're going to choke on a little boba ball.
It's the
tapioca.
It's the
what is it? Tapioca?
Yeah, it's
gelatin
tapioca.
Thing. Ugh. The owner of Melody Boba House, Melody Cho, she says it's going to have to be closed now for at least a month because they have to make repairs. As this happened, they noticed that the driver who crashed into the shop ended up hitting a woman, or kind of hitting a woman. She ended up pinning this customer to the wall.
She was pinned for a couple seconds, and then the car backed out a little bit, just a tiny bit, so there was a little bit of gap for her to get out. And then we had some bystanders that were around here. They came to her rescue.
There were two women and a toddler inside, in addition to the staff members. The good news is everyone was fine. No one was harmed here, but obviously it's pretty terrifying.
She was pinned for a couple seconds, and then the car backed out a little bit, just a tiny bit. So there was a little bit of gap for her to get out. And then we had some bystanders that were around here. They came to her rescue.
Yeah, I just said that. Isn't that pinned? If it's just 2 seconds, that's not pinned.
Yeah,
pinned.
That doesn't seem pinned.
You have to be there, and someone has to help you.
It's got to be for, like, an extended period of time.
Someone has to intervene, or you have to, like, squish your way out of a tight spot. That's not pinned. Pinned, look, if you're going to use that language, here's what I want. You write this down, and we can give it to our new producer, Max. Pinned only qualifies is if the second that you pull the car back, your insides fall out. That the only thing that's keeping you alive is the actual damage to your body from being pinned.
You know what?
So we're going for, what was that stupid movie with M. Night Shyamalan? Signs? Where the water kills aliens. Yeah, Signs.
That's what you're comparing this to?
Yeah.
So. You know what? I'm going to go ahead and not write that down for the new producer because now you're changing definitions of things, and we don't want to be those people.
I don't think I am changing the definition. I think that might be an official position. The woman who crashed into it was just an elderly woman who accidentally hit the gas pedal instead of the brakes.
Yeah, commonly happens.
It actually kind of does. Which, maybe you shouldn't be driving. Just throwing that out there. I'm not taking any hardcore positions, but it's a valid question as to whether or not you should still be on the road.
Yeah, it's about time to hang them up when you do that.
Or maybe she was very excited about getting boba.
You know
boba's
what?
So gross.
Oh, you are so wrong.
Ugh.
There's 1,000 different flavors you can get. There's going to be one that you enjoy.
Every sip. You come that much closer to choking.
Okay, and every time you eat with a fork, you're ready to stab yourself.
No, because when you're getting something in a hard form versus a liquid, you know to chew. This is a liquid you have to chew. It is wrong.
No, it's good.
It's wrong. Why don't you just give me, just make it a soup.
You want a soup?
A cold soup. Make it a cold soup. It's like gazpacho.
But, like, sometimes boba they make them, soup. Like, blended, and it's like a, like a smoothie type thing.
That's not a boba. That's not boba. That is a smoothie. That's different.
There's boba all sorts is of bobas.
Boba is milk. That's flavored.
Milk tea, yes.
That's flavored with whatever.
Jason,
and then
I'm
the
from the region. I know what boba is.
Look, I don't see race. I'm not going to assume that you know what boba is just because you happen to be Asian. Because, let's be honest, you also look Latino. And you could have assumed that this is Asian horchata?
I know what rickshaws are now.
You thought it was a guy named Rickshaw. Push the button. Welcome back to the Jason Ranch Show. Happy anniversary to me. I got an alert from LinkedIn that tells me it's my 11-year anniversary at Bonneville, Seattle, which is our parent organization.
You've been here 11 years?
11 years. I don't look a day over 8.
11's a long time, Jason.
I know.
Why haven't you, grown at all in those 11 years? You've just been, the same exact person.
I actually have grown tremendously. Thank you. I celebrate my 11th year, and you're leaving after your third?
Yeah, I'm just hitting my third this month.
I realize, as I was thinking back about all my better producers, you're the one, ironically, who's lasted the longest.
Yes.
Usually.
They all leave you after a very quick time.
They maybe last a year.
Wasn't Jacob only 6 months or something?
No,
Wasn't he quick?
No, Jacob was the longest probably after you. Because he technically started with me when I was on our sister station at night when I had a co-host. And so I convinced him to come with me to KTTH in mornings by lying to him by saying, they're going to fire you if you don't. And so he, out of fear of losing his job, came with me.
He's so gullible.
He really is. I could do that same thing right now and he would agree to come over. And then I had Darren. He didn't last that long. Or I can't remember what happened there. Well, I think he was promoted to our imaging director.
Yeah, but then you switched.
Then I went into afternoons.
You switched and he
Did
stayed,
I leave
right?
him? I don't
yeah,
remember.
You left him and he worked with Todd.
Okay. No, that's not true.
He was in the mornings.
He worked with Saul.
Wasn't he with Todd before Saul?
No.
Oh.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't remember any of these things. And then Tom was my producer, who was Todd's producer, who I hired to be Todd's producer. And I have a general rule. It's not really a rule. I don't know if it's a bias, maybe. But I've never, with the exception of my incoming producer, Max, I have not hired people with radio experience. I was, when I looked back, I was like, oh, that's an interesting coincidence. And I think part of it is just like subconsciously, maybe I like to develop people rather than have them come with their bad habits.
It's not even subconscious. You will very, yeah, that's what you do.
No, that part is true. I'm saying subconsciously, maybe that's what draws me to certain candidates. And in this case, I hired someone who has radio experience, which is very risky because he can come here with a whole bunch of bad habits that I'm going to have to break. And by break, I mean, first I break you, like in the military. I break you down and you will have no self-worth. And then I will build you back up, which creates a sense of resentment, but also loyalty to me. Because I've broken you and then I built you.
All the producers, we all still resent you. We all get together. We have some coffee. We talk
once a year, yeah. Yeah.
No, it's struggle. More like once,
is it more
once a month.
Of the trauma?
Yeah. We all have a lot. Nicole still has a lot that she's trying to get out from.
Nicole, my former producer, I made cry the most. But in fairness, she is very quick to cry. That is not. I am not taking the blame for that.
Do you think she cries on her new show? Because I don't think she does.
No, but she definitely cried to manipulate me a few times, which is when I said, oh, that's not going to work. First of all, I have no emotional attachment to anyone or anything but myself. And so you crying in front of me, that ain't going to work. That does not work here. If anything, it makes me feel better about what it is I do, because it shows that you're passionate about disappointing me.
That's what you took from that?
Yes.
Nicole would cry in front of
you. You cried once.
When?
You almost cried. I can't remember what it was.
I don't think I cried.
You almost cried. You got teary-eyed because I called you something, and that actually got me in trouble with HR. But you definitely got teary-eyed once.
You know, I think the night that you broke me was election night when I was here for like 14 straight hours, mm-hmm. and I couldn't leave. And yeah.
But
that was my first year.
Yeah.
And that, what, November? That's like 3 months into the job. You kept me here forever and I couldn't believe it. And then from that point on, I was pretty numb.
Yeah, that's how people thrive here on this show. You become numb to the abuse and you know that you have one job, which is to always make me happy. And you also know at the same time that I am never, ever, ever happy.
Never.
So it is, I set you all up to fail. Max, welcome to the show.
Good
poor
luck.
Poor guy. He's like, I'm changing my life. I'm coming from Oklahoma and now I'm stuck with this psychopath called Jason Rantz.